B-Pod Studios.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Like sport. Oop.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Bert Breer standing by. We're going to be joined by him momentarily. But before we do that, let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Patriot Center David Andrews, who joins us now. Hi, David.
Hey, how are we, guys?
Hey, do you get any bonuses for recovering fumbles? Like, that's not the first one you've snagged, right?
No, I don't think so. But just try to be around the ball, man. You know what I mean? It's always good to try to cover. You never know when you can help your runner out or recover a fumble.
What's the most disappointing thing you guys took as an offensive line from that game?
I thought we did some things really well. They did some things that challenged us and made us, block our rules and do some things.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Like sport. Oop.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Bert Breer standing by. We're going to be joined by him momentarily, but before we do that, let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Patriot Center David Andrews, who joins us now. Hi, David.
Hey, how are we, guys?
Hey, do you get any bonuses for recovering fumbles? Like, that's not the first one you've snagged, right?
No, I don't think so. But just try to be around the ball, man. You know what I mean? It's always good to try to cover. You never know when you can help your runner out or recover a fumble.
What's the most disappointing thing you guys took as an offensive line from that game?
I thought we did some things really well. They did some things that challenged us and made us, block our rules and do some things. I definitely think our quarterback got hit too much. He did a great job of, standing in there and making those throws. But as offensive lineman, you never want your quarterback to take those hits.
Yeah, he took nine hits in the game, and Zoe came in on Monday and said, I think that number may have actually been higher than what the box score would say. He took a sack as well. How do you sort of fix that, getting ready for week two, going on the road? What do you do this week to try and improve?
Yeah, I think it's a team effort, making sure we're good in our blitz pickup. And then just kind of finishing some blocks, and doing the best job we can up front. Just trying to finish and use our technique.
What's the hardest thing when you guys come to the sideline after a 10, 12, 14 play drive and you only come away with a field goal? You guys had a couple of those. How hard is it to get over that frustration and not come away with seven? Especially, and I say that because being down there at camp, Dave, like the first, I think, 2.5 weeks, you guys did nothing but like red zone work, right? Didn't feel like we did was a big red zone camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, when I look at it, a lot of things, hats off to the Dolphins, but, there was a lot of things we didn't do right, it's encouraging that we, had some success and moved the ball, but, we just have to do better and not hurt ourselves, to come away with seven, down there instead of three. There's definitely some things we can do better and improve on, and, that's what we'll try to do this week. But I thought there was a lot of good. But
it definitely hurt ourselves too much on Sunday.
When you talk about Miami on Sunday, a lot of people have said after the game that Miami threw everything they had at you guys in terms of different blitzes, different looks. Did you feel like they were challenging you and giving you a lot of different looks when it came to protection on Sunday?
There was definitely some things, but I thought, you want to talk about a hit or sack on the quarterback, wasn't necessarily as much as a communication issue as more of just a, finishing or blocking technique. So I thought we did a good job, communicating what we saw and everyone being on the right, same page, just have to execute better.
How tough is it to adjust, game one when, we talked to you before about being cohesive up front, five guys. Trent goes down early in that game, and you obviously game plan throughout the course of the week according to what you guys up front do well. How hard is that when the next guy comes in and sort of, okay, that game plan really doesn't apply and the adjustments you guys have to make in between series?
I think we try to do a good job of, getting every guy's, reps during the week, because unfortunately, that's just a part of this business. Justin's done a lot of good things for us. Obviously, Yashir came in, kind of short notice getting here when he did. Thought he did some good things. So, we got a full week, for guys to get reps and, really hone in. But, I think as a younger player or, a guy not playing, you just have to know that, at any moment it could be your time. So you have to prepare all week, like you're the starter.
All right, David, appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you, Dave.
David Andrews joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Yeah, the big thing is Kajus, too. If Kajus could get back, I think that helps him. But I think Brown's going to play in this game. That'll
really
help them a lot. I do. The fact they listed him day-to-day, you didn't get a we'll see. We'll reevaluate it. We didn't get a you'll reevaluate it at the end of the week. Let's not also forget when N'Keal Harry dove for the ball and caught it and missed it. And hurt his shoulder, he was listed the next day as day-to-day.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to err on the side of caution. He missed a bunch of time with the Raiders with this.
And if the same injury, that thing could stay with you all year.
Like that could just become nagging and be an issue. If you can't beat the Jets without Trent Brown.
I was just thinking, the opponent, doesn't that factor into it?
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Not that I'm looking past him or think, you should be able to beat him. I don't know. But if you're asking me who I'd rather have him healthy for, there's a couple of games coming up after the Jets that I would really rather he be closer to 100% for.
See, I just keep going back to what Brady told me about Trent Brown. Because I said, okay, in relation to like guys like Solder, Matt Light, Vollmer, you've had big guys. He goes, I can't explain it, but it's like you feel like you're going to get hit and get crushed. And then just out of nowhere, he extends his arm. And his arm is so long that the guy ends up going like 3 yards around me. And it's something the other guys really, they're big guys, but with Trent, it's a knack because he's not a mauler. He's not like, I'm going to take my shoulder and just run you over. It's his reach. His ability to like sort of bait a guy and then boom, jam him and reach.
Well, he's also got tremendous leverage because he's so damn tall.
Yeah, and I just think
is coming around and he's sort of leaning in, coming at the quarterback, and he can just sort of punch down on his shoulder. Yeah. He's knocking him off his route to the quarterback.
What better way to minimize hits on a quarterback but to get that guy? And that's the only reason I say get him back this week if you want to take the hits off the kid on the road. That's all.
Yeah. We just heard Jim Lowe. That was Jim Lowe, was it not?
Is he not in his office again?
Yeah, something's going on. Something's going on back there.
Something with Brewer, probably.
Yeah,
are we efforting Brewer?
No, we're not efforting.
Oh,
okay, good. Are you doing Wayne in Yarmouth, what do you have on Josh McDaniels, Wayne?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I just, we've heard the argument that offensively we wanted to kind of take it a little easy for Mac, but, with that defense that the Dolphins throw out there, particularly their secondary, Why wouldn't we be a lot more aggressive in blowing that damn team out?
Their two corners are exceptional defensively. And maybe they were a little tentative with that. Now, they don't have anywhere near what the Dolphins have at corner this week. They got two young kids. I think they got 11 rookies playing on their team. He should beat the hell out of his team this week. He should. This should not be a 7-10-point game. This should be a 20-plus game. And if you play clean and not fumble, even if you're just kicking field goals, you should still blow their doors off. You should be able to push the ball downfield in this game. Kendrick Bourne should be on the field all the time.
But you've got to be able to protect.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to protect. One of the plays that that's an example of that happening on Sunday was where they couldn't push the ball down the field, or they tried to push the ball down the field, was on the 2nd and 6 play that McCourty broke up, which was a great defensive play. I want to give him credit. He can still cover and can still hang with guys.
Yeah.
But Mack did everything right on the play. He got blitzed. He hung in there. He had...
even though it's there, I didn't think the receiver did the best job for him.
I mean, he put the ball where it needed to be, but it's just, it's Mac Jones sort of leaning back to make the throw. When he made the throw, it almost sort of looked like a, it almost sort of looked like an Eli Manning throw. You know, Eli sort of had that thing where it looks like he's sort of putting everything into it.
Yeah.
Because Mac Jones was sort of, he wasn't throwing off the back foot,
but he was
per
under
se,
pressure.
But he was under pressure, and he could not put everything into the throw because he had guys at his feet. And he knew it. He was aware of it. I had great awareness on the play. This happened in the 2nd quarter. He had great awareness. He knew where the guys were. He knew that he had to sort of back up and evade it. He got blitzed. He saw the blitz coming. But the ball is not thrown particularly hard or on a straight line. It's sort of, it's got a bit more of an arc. And we talked about this yesterday because a caller said, our guy Jeff in Nashua said, I went to training camp, and when Mac Jones throws the football in training camp when he's just able to throw and he's not under duress, this guy can sling it. This guy can throw it on, you know, on a rope. That throw wasn't on a rope. That throw was him running backwards, getting away from pass rushers, and he still gets the ball there. And you say his receiver was Jacoby Myers,
yes,
right?
The ball hung. Let me explain it.
Jacoby Myers could have made a better effort, but still, Mac makes the play. It was a chance to push it down the field with all the defenders up in the box. And what happens? Well, he can't get good enough protection, so the play goes down as a breakup.
I think that's a personnel concern right there. The fact that you're taking a shot with Jacoby Myers on a post. And Jacoby Myers is your slot guy. He should be your spot guy, meaning, okay, if I need 3rd-and-7, I'm going to be your stick mover. We're still figuring that stuff out. I think if you line Jacoby Myers out to the right, you tell him to run a post versus air, he's going to run it that way. And then you get a guy in his hip pocket the next snap and say, run the same play. He's going to run the route exactly the same way. And my point is, guys like Antonio Brown, you'll see the ball in flight. And what Antonio will do will take the route more vertical to where you make contact with that player. And then at the last second, burst and go get the ball. You know, you use your body to shield it from the defender. That ball's literally got to hit him right between a 1 and a 6, is what I'm saying with him. I want to see a shot play with Bourne or Aguilar. Aguilar's the shot guy, right? Let's try that. That's all. We did this last year where Myers was your best receiver a year ago. He was your shot guy a year ago. Let's not get stuck in last year. This is a new year. You have new weapons.
Well, we've got a lot to get to on this and everything else this week in the NFL. Mostly Patriots, though. Bert Breer of the MMQB is going to join us on the other side. We are a go. That is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in the disaster area.
Zolak and Bertram, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bert Breer, the MMQB in Sports Illustrated, is with us. Hi, Bert.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Great to have you.
How's your weekend, Bert?
It was good. It was good. It was a lot better Sunday than Saturday, I'd say.
Did you do anything on Saturday? Go apple picking or anything?
Yeah, I was. It wasn't a great Saturday, but I've moved on.
I can't watch the Buckeyes anymore without sitting there and watching every play and thinking about how you are currently reacting. And that's true. And that's a me problem, not a you problem.
Yeah, no, but, I know. I don't know if you guys have, and I'm sure you haven't paid any attention to it, but the fact that like our head coach is now coming out and saying there are going to be structural changes on defense over the next few weeks in season, I think tells you how deep the problem was, and we still only lost by 7. So, bars high there, man.
You were never in control of that game.
No. I mean, it was an ass kicking. There's no other way to put it. Like I think it's clear which team had the better players. It's also clear that the other team played a lot better than the one that had the better players. Because that game's not close. If Ohio State doesn't have better talent, that game's not even close.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it. It was an enjoyable game from a neutral observer.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was. It was a good game to watch.
I'm glad you had a good time, Beetle.
So we'll tell you. I'm texting going, oh, God, what do you think Bert's doing? Oh, God, how do you think Bert's reacting to this? Terrible Saturday for Bert. Saturday.
What's your Periscope?
All right, well, let's get on to Sunday, and that was Patriots-Dolphins. Yeah. So you have any big takeaway, big picture thoughts on the Patriots dropping their opener?
Yeah, you know what? Like, what's interesting? Well, obviously, like, I think Mac was pretty impressive overall. He's still a rookie, so it wasn't perfect, but I think, you know, as far as what you wanted to see out of Mac in week one, you saw it. I think the most interesting thing about like the whole matchup in general, the Dolphins out-patrioted you. And I know that sounds funny, but like you look at who made the critical plays, who caused a turnover at the end, who converted on their chances, who tackled really well, who stopped the other team from getting extra yardage.
Two good opening drives.
Didn't you look at that game and say, like the Dolphins look like they're playing like the Patriots. And I think that's a great commentary on where Brian Flores has that program. And so that's the first big takeaway. The second big takeaway, and this is from the weekend in general. I mean, you guys watched the Chiefs-Browns game, the end of that game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And like, it was hard for me not to look at the end of that game, right? The way Mahomes just sort of took over, makes the play to Tyreek Hill, changes the dynamic altogether, and all the pressure that the Browns were under as a result of having Mahomes on the other side, and then link it back to like last Thursday and what the Buccaneers did, how they made the mistakes down the stretch and were still able to erase all of it because they have Tom Brady. And like, while I think the Patriots did a lot of good things on Sunday, like it's just so clear to me now, like the advantage that they had for 20 years and you don't have it anymore. And that's not an indictment on Mac at all. Because you had is so rare.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but like you look at the Buccaneers and you look at the Chiefs, and those two teams didn't even play that well in week one. And they've got the advantage of having the guy under center who can just erase every mistake that you made over the course of 3 hours. And so, I mean, I think it sort of speaks to the Patriots, the margin for error, even if the quarterback position is in a lot better shape than it was last year. You're not going right back to what you had in Brady, where the margin for error was enormous. That margin for error isn't there anymore.
Yeah, you can't afford any of the mistakes anymore.
Right.
Because
how many times did we see the Patriots make mistakes like they made in this game? Like, you know, the Stevenson fumble, and I know that was debatable, but the Harris fumble at the end. How many times did we see the Patriots make mistakes over a 20-year period and overcome them? And you just can't overcome them the same way you used to.
Buffalo. So they're up 10-0 on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And that second half was an utter ass-kicking by Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Did that shock you, like the way Pittsburgh came out of the gate as we try to shape the AFC here?
Yeah, and I think to me it's like I think we may be underrated Pittsburgh's defense a little bit. They're really good. I mean, and I think the one thing I would come out of that concerned about if I was Buffalo, more so than Josh Allen, because I think he's going to get it together. I think he'll be fine. Be a little worried about the offensive line because they got their ass kicked up front.
Yeah.
And that was part of the reason why Allen was back there holding the ball and, you know, having to kind of improvise more than we saw him last year. I hear a lot of people say like, well, like it looked like 2019 Josh Allen more than 2020 Josh Allen. I think part of it was because the Steelers did such a good job with guys like Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and Stephon Tuitt, and like, quite honestly, just kicked the Bills' ass up front. And maybe that's just because Pittsburgh is that good. You know, the players they have up front are really good. There's no doubt about that. But if I'm Buffalo, that'd be the one concern I'd be walking away from that game with, because I don't think their defense was a huge problem in that game. They have mistakes, but it's week one. The one thing I think you'd have a little bit of concern about if you're Buffalo is just the way that the Steelers handled you up front.
All right, Bert, to go back to the Patriots game and some of the issues there, getting killed up front was something the Patriots were good at doing. On Sunday, they let Mac Jones take 9 hits. They let him get sacked once. The number may have been higher. He was under pressure a lot. He did not drop back without dealing with pressure almost every single time he was throwing the ball. To me, it's one of the glaring issues that the team has. We thought they'd be much better up front on both sides of the ball. We thought it would be a good year for them, and they're off to a bad start. My fear is Mac Jones, if this continues, and if Trent Brown misses this week or beyond, we'll see what happens and how they approach the treatment and rehab. This kid's going to get killed. This kid's going to have an injury. This kid's going to miss time if this is what they keep doing. And we had this concern about Mac Jones prior to knowing the protection would be so poor on Sunday.
And I think, like, you talk about up front on both sides of the ball. I don't think it was across the board on both sides, right? Like, if you watch the game, I think the run blocking, obviously, the way Damian Harris ran the ball, I think the run blocking was okay. You know, where they really struggled was in pass protection when they were in long yardage. So that's the issue on offense. On defense, it was almost like the inverse of that, right? Like, where when they were in obvious passing situations, I thought they could get out after Tua pretty good. But that run defense issue, you know, and the reason they went and signed Devon Godchow in the offseason and drafted Christian Barmore where they drafted him, like, the run defense was a problem again. And this is another one of those things, guys. Like, we're over 20 years. You can't remember too many times when the Patriots run defense was a real issue. And it was an issue last year, and it looks like it's an issue again. I mean, the Dolphins' offensive line's okay, but they were without their left tackle, Austin Jackson.
Yep.
And it's not like they have a superstar back, you know? Is Myles Gaskin going to be, you know, a Pro Bowler? No, right? Like, so I just... That to me, like if you want to like look at like big picture things they got to work out, I think the run defense was supposed to be better based on where they made the investment and the interior of the defensive line. And I didn't think the run defense was good enough. And even like at the end of the game, right? Like the way the Dolphins were able to like win on that last series was alarming. Like I thought like that was super, it's just again, like one of these things you don't see and you didn't used to see here where the Dolphins take a penalty in the first play, right? And then the Patriots give up on 1st and 14, an easy completion, right, to Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
And that gets them into 2nd and 1.
That was it.
They churn out the first down, and then they run the ball 3 times to basically end the game, right? Like, and you know it's coming and you can't stop it. And again, like the Dolphins aren't like their offensive line's super young. They were without their left tackle. Again, they don't have an elite back.
All right. So
but they were able to churn out the end of that game. And then again, like I think you hit the nail on the head there, Beetle, is that you probably can't let Mac Jones get knocked around quite as much. So I don't think the line of scrimmage issues were across the board, but I think one phase of each side was bad on Sunday.
Does having Gilmore help that defensive line? That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, how many?
You've got to lock it up if that Parker play on 1st and 14. Now Parker gave Gilmore trouble 2 years ago. I know that,
right?
But I'm just saying, end of the game, you need a play.
That was an easy completion too.
Like, Bert, we mentioned yesterday.
It was zone.
The thing Zone I talked about was if Gilmore's there, does it change their approach and how they called things?
Probably. Right. I mean, like if you think about it, like they've been such a man-heavy team over the last, I mean, decade really. Why? Well, because they've always had elite corners. I mean, this was a position back when I was covering the team, like there was a time where they felt like they could get by with a little less. And when they, you know, you remember when they got in the contractual fights with Asante and Ty Law, and there was a time when they felt like they could make it work. And for one reason or another, about 10 years ago, that flipped. And you look at the line of corners they've had since then, right? Aqib Talib to Darrell Revis to Malcolm Butler to Stephon Gilmore. They've always had like a incredibly high level corner, and they've played a lot of man, and they've like just sunk a ton of resources into that position. And again, like guys, like this is why, like, do you want to win the negotiation or do you want to have the player, right? Like they have cap space. Like, do you want to win the negotiation or do you want to have the player? You spent so much money on fixing your defense, and what undermined all of that?
You won. Congratulations. Yeah.
I mean, like, and it's just, you spend all that money on the defense and you get into a contract fight with your best player, which, I mean, I think was very solvable if you had taken care of it early, because you were obsessed with seeing what he looked like physically out there. And I think you've really cost yourself now, where it feels at least like that defense would be a lot better if you had a number one corner there, because now JC Jackson's matchups are different. Jalen Mills's matchups are different. It changes the dynamic of the entire secondary. I can only think of one play the Patriots secondary made in that game. That was Jalen Mills on Albert Wilson, right? I think that was it.
And he got beat off the jam, though.
Right.
But like, he was beat for the touchdown.
Yeah, and it was a bad throw.
Yeah, it was, yeah, it was a little inside. Yeah. He still made the play.
Right. No, and I give him credit for the play, but like, can you think of one other play the Patriots secondary made in the passing game? I mean, Adrian Phillips made plays in the running game and everything else, but can you think of one other big play that you saw from the Patriots secondary in the passing game?
Just attack? No, no.
No, in fact, I thought some of their tackling was poor in this game too, even after the play was made.
So that's the thing is, like, when you have a player like that, it's like Aaron Donald with the Rams, right? So like Leonard Floyd last year, and you guys know him, he came over from Chicago. He'd been a top 10 pick. Leonard Floyd suddenly was a double digit sack guy last year in LA after the Bears couldn't get that out of him for 4 years. Why is that? Oh, because he's playing next to Aaron Donald now. So everything, like every matchup he is going, like every matchup he gets week to week is different than it used to be. And that's the way it works with premier defensive players. Like having Stephon Gilmore back there changes the dynamic for everyone in the secondary. And when you do not have that guy back there, and all due respect to JC Jackson, I don't think JC Jackson's that guy. He's a good player, but I don't think he's that guy. Like now all of a sudden your number two corner is your number one. Your number three corner is your number two. You got to play your safeties different. It changes everything. It changes the math back there.
Yeah. Now, Bert, I want to talk to you about the Patriots' inability to score when they get into the red zone. That continues to be a problem here in 2021. We'll get to that coming up next after these headlines with Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Myers to the right. Give to Damon Harris. Runs to Ryan. Okay. And he bruises his way forward. Ball came loose. Damon Harris fumbled. He got to the 8-yard line. The Dolphins say they have it.
Oh, my God.
Damon Harris rammed into a defender. And the ball popped free. Miami has it.
Something about Mary.
I've actually heard this song, by the way, now.
Yeah.
What this song is.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like the Dan Band or whatever you want to say. It really isn't. It's
Mary,
odd.
She's dancing.
It's odd once you actually hear the song. Bert Breer, the MMQB, is with us. He's on Zoom. He's with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. We're in our Town Fair Tire studios, and we're talking about the game on Sunday. Mac Jones and the Patriots falling at home to the Miami Dolphins, 17-16. And I did want to talk about what has been a problem for the Patriots now, not just with Mac Jones or not just with Cam Newton, but also in Tom Brady's final year with the Patriots, and that is the Patriots' inability to score touchdowns. They've got a real issue in the red zone. Why is that? Why is it, in your opinion? I've got my ideas about it, Bert. I've been talking about it for 2 days. What's your idea as to why this has been such a struggle?
Well, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at like the end with Brady and why that was the way it was at the very end with Brady. I would suspect that it was just there wasn't any talent around him at the end of the 2019 season. But I think so much of it comes down to, like, when you're down there, you either need to be more physical or you need to be more precise, right? Like, so you either need to be able to run the other team over, or you need to be so good in the passing game that you can hit small windows and take advantage of little things. And like, I think the Patriots can be the former. Being the latter is a lot to ask of a rookie quarterback. And I think you started to see at the beginning of the game the makings of what they're trying to be offensively. when they really got Harris going. And I'm encouraged by the way that the line run blocked. The problem is that they sort of put themselves in these situations where negative plays have knocked them back. And like, again, like I think it's a little much to ask of a rookie quarterback when you're putting yourself in second and 20 or second and 14 to carry the team back, you know, across the sticks. And so I think, you know, early in that game, we saw what they want to be. And I think when they are that and when they aren't taking negative plays, because again, I think like their margin for error that they used to have is gone. I think they can be that team. It's just when you are that team and when you're going to rely on being more physical down near the goal line, you just can't take losses of yardage. And there were a few, I think, key spots on Sunday where they took the losses of yardage.
Are you shocked that they didn't use the tight ends as much as I anticipated them using the tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed. So, I mean, I don't know. Like
who's you always try, like, my point is, who's covering the tight ends?
You always have to, but here's the thing. You always have to remember this. And this goes for all the money they spent, okay? And this is something that it sounds simple, but it really kind of can inform all of these things. When you look at like why free agents are free in the first place, right? So like, look at the guys they got, like, and ask yourself, like, why did the Chargers let Hunter Henry go? Why did the Titans let Jonnu Smith go? And like the answer to those questions, you know, like it's not that they're bad players, but generally you're not letting your core players go. You're probably not even letting them get to the end of their contracts, right? Now, like the Chargers let Hunter Henry go and they use the money that the Patriots spent on that they would have spent on Hunter Henry, what the Patriots did spend on Hunter Henry to go and get a center, go and get Corey Linsley. The Titans wound up using some of the money they would have spent on Jonnu Smith to fit Julio Jones in, right? Now, again, that doesn't mean these guys aren't bad players. Corey Linsley is the best center in the league, maybe, right? And Julio Jones is one of the best receivers and maybe in the history of the game. So it's not like, you know, these decisions were wild or out of whack or any sort of indictment on who Jonnu or Hunter are as players. But like, if you're asking those guys to be the best players in their offenses, that's not what they were before. So you're like naturally asking them to be more than what they were before. And like the best example of it, and this is, you know, Beetle, this is from me and you's childhood. Zoe, I think you were in the league at the time, but it's like when the Buccaneers signed Alvin Harper from Dallas, right?
I remember that.
And you remember Alvin Harper was a really great number two receiver in Dallas for all those years,
yeah,
right?
Michael made him. Yeah.
Yep. And then he goes and he's number one in Tampa. What happened?
That didn't work out for him.
He vanished, right?
He became a bad free agent signing.
And so that's part of, I think that's part of it, right? Like, so like Hunter Henry for the last few years, do you think he might have benefited from playing with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams?
Yeah,
maybe.
Jonnu Smith, yeah. Do you think he might have benefited from playing with, you know, with A.J. Brown and with Corey Davis and with Derrick Henry behind him?
Yeah, a little bit.
So that's the thing. Like, that's what my radar is up for. It's not that these guys aren't good players. I think they are good players. It's what you're asking of them. And if they've got to carry you in the passing game, and you paid them near the top of the market at tight end, right? Like,
yeah,
you paid
them. That's why I asked.
Top tight ends get paid. But like, when you pay them that, you're asking them to be that. And I don't know that they've ever, like, either of those guys have ever been the focal point of any offense they played for.
Now after Harris turned a corner on the left, he tapped out, mm-hmm. and it sent Brandon Bolden in the game. And I'm looking at it, and this is key drive of the game. You got a rookie quarterback with Brandon Bolden behind him. Mm-hmm. Two receivers that were in the game were Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski.
Yep.
In the fourth quarter of your first game. How does that happen? That's no disrespect to those players. Now, you know, obviously, Bolden's in because
Stevenson
fumbled, and the other kid was tired.
Here's how it happens. It happens because you drafted N'Keal Harry and Sony Michel in the first round. Because that's what those guys were supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
That's how that happens.
It's true.
Like, if you're spent, like, you spent first round picks on skill players, right? And if you're spending a first round pick on a receiver or a running back, like, your feeling is like that guy is going to be a centerpiece for our offense, right?
Yeah.
Well, right now, N'Keal Harry's in year three, Sony Michel's in year four. Like, that's the impact of drafting poorly.
It's crazy, man. Like, I go back to my early days. Like, Irving Fryer never came off the field. Terry Glenn never came off the field. Yeah. You know?
So what if they draft Nick Chubb instead of Sony Michel?
Yeah.
everything's easier on everybody, right?
Is it? Or do they not
pick what if they draft? What if they draft Deebo Samuel instead of N'Keal Harry?
Okay, that's a better one. That's a much better one because even if they had drafted Nick Chubb, I don't think they'd use him to his full capabilities.
They wouldn't have paid.
But that's the impact of it. If you have Chubb and Samuel here, right, who are available, these aren't like guys they couldn't have had. Yeah. Those guys were on the board.
Right.
Like, that's the impact of it. You have two guys who are not on the field for you that were supposed to be centerpieces of your offense.
I think that's part of the reason why you have to overpay
for Nelson Agholor.
I think when you have the context of N'Keal Harry's pick, if you give it the full context, it might go down as Bill's worst pick ever. And I think just based on its own merit of N'Keal Harry not panning out to really be, to this point, an NFL player, it's up there as one of his worst picks. But the context of it makes it look so much worse with all the guys that were in that draft and all the guys that could have been available to them. And they identified him.
And I've said this to you guys before. I know you guys have, you know, heard me say it over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The scouts like Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown. Now, they didn't like DK Metcalf, and I'm not going to blame. Like, a lot of people were wrong on
too
DK
big.
Metcalf, right?
Too big.
There were a lot of people who had issues with him coming out, and I'm not going to kill him for that. But, like, the scouts really did like Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown and told Bill, these guys are better program fits for us than N'Keal Harry. Have you watched the way that Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown play football?
Yeah.
Like, do those guys not look like they'd be Patriot-like fits?
Yeah.
I think they'd fit anywhere, quite frankly. I think they'd fit on any football team. You see their style of play, though,
Beetle, too, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Tough, smart, they play angry. Like, everything about those guys screams Patriots, right?
Right. See, and my point to that is not to take a shot at Myers. Myers earned a roster spot. He's one of your better receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Olszewski's on the team. He's your punt returner, but he's also a slot receiver. If I'm Miami and I'm Xavier Howard and we break the huddle, okay, it's fourth quarter, they're driving. I got number one guy, and you look over and you're like, oh, at 80-16, what do we do? You're looking at Buffalo like, who do you want me to take? It's confusing. I don't know. Maybe it's because it was a run called, and you want those guys to run block.
And like to me, like that's the big that's as big an effect of having a number one as anything else, right? Like, it's the same thing we talked about with Steph. You know, it's like,
yeah,
if you're if you have Deebo Samuel out there, well, then the coverage is going to be different for Olszewski. The coverage is going to be different for Myers. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys are going to be better players by virtue of playing with that other guy, you know?
Yep.
And that's what N'Keal Harry was supposed to be. So that's the hole in the roster. And you can't just go out and get a number one, because teams that draft them, like, if you nail that number one, you're re-signing him, and he's never making it to the market. So what you're getting, again, like, and this is the problem with free agency. And I this is why free agency has failed for so many teams that have gone out there and been aggressive on the market, is there's a reason why those guys make it to the market. Now, sometimes it's injury, sometimes it's cap, sometimes it's that the guy was a number two, you know, in his position room, and the team decided to pay one guy and not the other. But there's always a reason why a guy makes it to the market. And I think that that's part of the job, like when you're in free agency, is to properly ascertain why guys made it to the market. And I look at like the offense, and I'm still not sure there's anything that really scares you. And I think Harris is going to be a really good back. Like, I think Harris, you know, could wind up at the end of the year, we'll look up and he might be one of the top 10 backs in the league. But I don't know there's anything in the passing game in that offense that really scares you right now. And that's going to make it more difficult on your rookie quarterback.
All right, Bert, more to come with you as you are with us until 1 o'clock today, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls as well next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
617-779-0985. It's Solak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub, along with Bert Breer of the MMQB. Why don't we get to your phones? Let's get to some of your thoughts on what happened over the weekend with the Patriots. Paulie's in the truck. Big day for Paulie.
Very.
What are you, on a lawnmower?
What do you want?
A weed whacker?
What do you want?
I'm sorry about that. I just picked the phone out of my pocket. I heard Paulie in the truck. I said, uh-oh. I just finished cutting the grass. Just finished it. Hey, today is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad. You guys better be down there tonight representing Zolak. You could walk there. You're so close. Heidi, you're Mr. Rock and Roll.
Why don't you pick me up at my house?
Pick up Zol on your way.
Yeah, I will. We'll pick up Lowe, too. Lowe better be there, too.
He's corporate.
Instead of spying on me in the corner with a camera like he probably was in Hartford. You will be, Zoe? You coming down?
No, it was T-Bone that said he'd be there.
Excellent. So he's going to be the guy with the camera then. Well, but.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we got to do something about the offensive line. It's not the same with Trent Brown. Trent Brown should have been the start left tackle anyway. And then we should have gotten away from whoever. I believe it was when you started right tackle last year. He should be the starting right tackle. We should have left him where he was, kick way inside, Trent Brown on left tackle, and of course, Mason at the right guard. That should be the lineup right there. You're going to move when you back to right tackle right away.
I actually agree with him.
Paul, are you going to make a connection with the Robinsons tonight?
Right up front, I always know that Showtime, man. My Showtime exploits are legendary in this town.
You better rock the house.
With the Allman Brothers.
Paulie, who are the Crows opening for tonight?
What are you going to wear?
I don't know who's open. That was a good question.
No. The Crows are opening. Who's the headliner tonight?
Stop lying, Hottie. I wonder who is opening, though. That's a good question.
What are you
going
to wear?
Oh, he's done.
I bet he's going to wear a T-shirt, rip the sleeves off, and a pair of jeans.
Paulie wears an old Black Crowes T-shirt to the Black Crowes concert.
See, that's the problem you're going to have tonight.
I don't know. I'm not going to have any problems.
No, like if you run into him.
I won't have any problems.
He doesn't leave. Like, he's got you the whole day then.
But he will be right up front, as he once told me that he made a strong connection, I believe eye to eye, Tom Petty kept the show going because he was feeding off of Paulie's energy. He told me
gave him the head nod.
Gave him the nod. Gave him what? And you know, you just heard Paulie tell you all the bands he's connected with on really a cellular level, whether it be the Allman Brothers or ZZ Top.
Yep, same ones all the time.
The Robinsons tonight are going to look at him and just know.
And that's what the bands are looking
for. We got a show here.
But that's what the bands are looking for. And you might think they're looking for like some 24-year-old blonde, you know, with just a body to die for. No, they want the 50-something in jean shorts who is looking at them obsessively, almost to an uncomfortable degree. That's who these rock and roll guys are trying to connect with. I'm
jean short guys.
Here for you.
Yeah, with work boots and
socks.
You're
the one I want to come
backstage.
That's
what they do it for. That's why they do this job.
I want you
not
backstage,
easy being a rock
sir.
And roll
right.
legend.
He called back.
What'd he say?
He's wearing his Hard Rock New Orleans T-shirt.
Okay.
In solidarity with the people in New Orleans?
It's got to be what it is.
Yes.
Right. He's wearing his Hard Rock New Orleans shirt.
Bert's still here.
Oh, hey, Bert.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
Bert has no idea what to do with that.
Whoops. Right. Hey, what do you got?
I think I gathered that like we went into like, you know, hitting on 50-year-old women, right? Like, is that where we were?
No.
No, it's like 55-year-old men.
All right. Okay.
Like rock bands love him. Yeah.
Oh, so he, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's who they're looking for. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Lifelong bond.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you make of Matt Stafford and McVay coming out of the block?
Let's get to the headlines. What do you say before we go into a completely different team? Let's do that. We'll be right back in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.